Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. This is about the Russo-Ukrainian War. Goodness, here we are well over 4 years in. Now, war began 24th of February 2022 in earnest, as in Russia trying to conquer the whole of Ukraine. Obviously, there was more limited war in the Donbass since 2014. But one of Russia's many advantages in 2022, and obviously the years before that, was energy. The way it provided so much oil and gas to Western countries could threaten them. If you fund Ukraine, if you arm Ukraine, we could switch that off. And one of the reasons they began there in the winter is they could think, well, we can turn off the lighting and the heating in Europe if they don't play ball. Now, one of their mistakes was to begin in February. They began when winter was drawing to a close. Had they begun in November, that would have been a bigger problem heading into winter. And they've obviously been attacking the Ukrainian electric grid from the beginning to deprive them of electricity, obviously freeze elderly people to death, babies to death, because the very old, the very young, they're the most vulnerable to these severe changes in temperature. They can't heat their bodies and so forth. So attacking hospitals, attacking schools, attacking, you know, a shelter labeled children again and again and again. So it's been absolutely vile. It's been utterly evil to deliberately attack the most vulnerable, the willful murder of civilians again and again. There was that Druzhba, ironically named friendship pipeline across Ukrainian territory, entering, where was it, Hungary, first of all. So they thought they'd read the European psychology correctly. Europeans are callow, soft, and they just want an easy life. They're used to prosperity. We're willing to suffer. That's why we'll defeat them. So that they have no backbone. They've lost their courage. And there was obviously some truth in that. But although it was very difficult for Europe in the early days, the energy price went up. Nevertheless, it didn't break Europe. It didn't break Ukraine trying to smash their electric grid. Ukraine is increasingly connected to the European electric grid. So yes, it's a headache, but it's nowhere near enough to break Ukraine. You know, there was a chance that in the first year it might have done, but that chance has no gone. It'll continue to be a significant problem for Ukraine this coming winter. And by the way, obviously the war's nowhere near over. It's lasted far longer than anybody anticipated. But obviously Russia produces so much oil and gas, got some of the biggest reserves in the world, but you know how they've lost the European energy market largely. Before the war began, they sold something like 40% of European Union's liquid natural gas came from Russia. It's now 6%, and it's going down. The European Union is trying to get it to 0%, probably never quite get it there. Likewise, a similar quantity of oil has gone down, but there are all these opt-outs and exemptions. Those should be phased out. And now Orban Viktor's gone. There are not many voices in the European Union arguing let's buy Russian oil and gas, partly so they can be manipulated. Europe is moving increasingly towards renewable energy. May never completely get there, but so that's just another incentive to move there and so on. What if there is long-term peace with Iran and Iranian oil and liquid natural gas is back on the market? But how Ukraine has turned this around, destroying Russian refineries to wreck their economy so they can't sell the oil and gas to fund the war. Now, obviously, you can sell crude oil, which is not refined, but there's less of a profit margin on that, and diesel and so on. Okay, so that's that the military vehicles don't have fuel. But then, of course, civilian vehicles don't have fuel either. And it prevents people going around doing their daily business, getting to work and so forth. Combine harvesters to take in the harvest about this time of year. Remember, grain is a major Russian export. Russia's stolen some Ukrainian grain. So Ukraine targeting the Russia shadow fleet, those without insurance or without full insurance to export oil, liquid natural gas and so ever coming out of the Sea of Azov. So making that a real headache. So fuel shortages, the Crimean Peninsula, which is Ukrainian sovereign territory, which even Putin himself agreed was Ukrainian sovereign territory in a treaty he signed in 2003. That was a popular holiday destination for Ukrainians and Russians for centuries. But so there's almost no access to fuel there. So that's why a lot of people have cancelled their holidays. They said send a 70% down. I'm surprised it's probably more down than that. And so that land corridor will be broken. And then power outages because they don't have enough fuel. Now, I don't want to target civilian infrastructure. So certain legitimate economic targets, but just to make life more difficult for civilians, no, that's not acceptable. That's what the US has been doing in Iran. That's what Israel has been doing against the Palestinians. Now, I know Russia's been doing it to Ukraine like bilio. So I suppose I mustn't be too judgmental of the Ukrainians are doing it back to them, because what would I do? And they say, it's all very well for you to be on your moral high horse and legalistic and so on. Come on, if you're in the real situation that they're going to do to us, we're going to do back to them. We've got to retaliate. We can't be too ethical. This is life and death. This is not a war of choice. Anyway, so that's why Crimea is ever more tenuous in Russia's grasp of it. Yes, the Russian army's there in serious numbers, but and I didn't see Ukraine ever getting back Crimea. And maybe that's not even the objective. It's a bit like Verdun. You choose something that Russia feel that they have to defend at all costs, and then you just make it extremely costly. So that the more Russian troops are killed there, more resources are poured in there, like fuel to just be destroyed, and they've got few troops to spare to defend other fronts, to attack elsewhere, very little fuel for anywhere else, and you've drawn them into this very bloody battle, so to bleed them white. The other places they can be pushed back. There are places they're willing to retreat out. Remember, obviously, April 2022, the Great Retreat north of Kyiv or Kherson. It was in early 2023 when they crossed the river Dnepr, and about 20,000 Russian troops there. They were surrounded. The one bridge was constantly under fire, and they realized they couldn't hold the city. I mean, there are two choices. You could reinforce it with more troops, have to give a lot of ammunition, a lot of rations or whatever, because you have to assume that they'll be cut off at some point, or you have to pull out. And the Russian general was able to convince Putin, we're going to have to withdraw, and they did. But having retreated to the east of the Dnieper, they'll never, ever get to the west of it, seems like. But Crimea, this is something they want to hold at all costs. More things could be destroyed. That Kerch Strait Bridge could be taken down, of which Putin supposedly drove the first truck when it's completed, more like Putin's double. They filmed them from the back, mostly. And you can see that the chin isn't quite right. The throat isn't quite right. Are the eyes there too far apart to be Putin? You know, plastic surgery, the things you can change, the soft parts of the face, the nose, the lips, things like that, around the eyes, the eyelids and so on. But they're the bony parts. You can't change that. All right. Anyway, so that's why it's a really economic drain for Crimea. They always have to subsidize it since they stole it in 2014. It's going to cost them more and more and more. You see how they're not making Russia safer. They're making it less safe. And there are huge long queues for petrol in Moscow and other cities. So the lack of aviation fuel. People can't get to work, encouraged to cycle around, which sometimes the distance is too long. They just can't cycle to work. And it might be all right to cycle in the summer. How are you going to cycle when it's minus 25 degrees Celsius outside? That's just not doable. And if you've got three children to drop off at different schools, you're going to cycle them all? What, when they're like 7 years old, some of them? So anyway, everything in the economy is related directly or indirectly to fuel, all products, all services. Someone on the computer, that takes electricity, which is usually from burning oil, gas, or coal. And all right, there is some renewable energy, but Russia is very underdeveloped. They've not gone in for that because there's a big capital outlay, and they say, why would we waste money on that? We've got loads of tons of oil, gas, and coal. So they're having to even import diesel fuel from other countries. They banned the export of diesel fuel. So the economic situation is not looking good. Even they said they're going to grow by 1%. In reality, they're going to shrink by 1% this year and maybe a lot more next year. So I don't want anyone to suffer, and that includes Russians. Peace now. Withdraw from Ukraine now. Hand over suspects like Putin to the international criminal court and so forth. All prisoners of war, both sides, exchanged. All civilians have been kidnapped, exchanged. Russia to pay compensation, and nobody would get hurt ever again. Anyway, do what you can to work for that, okay? Slava Ukraine, heroim slava. Goodbye.